感谢主耶稣。 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus is the unseen guest of honor. Jesus is the unseen VIP. Reading from Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13 to 25. So if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine, and olive oil. I will provide grass in the fields of your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and He will shut up the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. So if you carefully observe all these commands I am giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to Him and to hold fast to Him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. Every place where you set your foot will be yours. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the Euphrates River to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God, as He promised you, will put the terror and fear of you on the whole land, wherever you go.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Hi. Some of you may recognize me, or you may not. I'm so glad to be here. My name is Carol. Actually, I've done my field education placement 20-odd years ago. So just now in the car, I was just thinking back those days I was with Reverend Wen Yuan, and also, of course, together serving with Deacon Wan Ling, Xiao Hui, and of course my friend Wilson, and many of you whom I'm so happy that today I can come back and to serve and to worship together with all of you. And it's really my joy to be here in Jubilee Presbyterian Church, and also I bring greetings from Bethel Presbyterian Church on Synod Sunday to preach God's Word. Our theme for Synod is strengthening faith, strengthening family. The Bible places a lot of emphasis on faith in the family, and I've chosen today's text from Deuteronomy chapter 11 verses 13 to 25. To reflect upon how we can leave a spiritual heritage. So let's now come to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are so grateful to You that we have the breath, we have life to worship You. And we know that this is not by coincidence that we can come and worship You. It's all by Your grace that we can come and sing praises to You, to reflect upon Your Word. And Lord, as we listen and receive Your Word, may You grant us a humble heart, a teachable heart to learn and to continue to practice what we have heard in our daily lives. And we commit the rest of the time into Your hand. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Saturday, Synod Women Council had organized this heritage trail. And this heritage trail is about the Hokkien-speaking Presbyterian churches. And the speaker, I think, is very familiar to all of you, is a preacher, Nai Hui, and together with other respondents. I was there, and actually I found the session very inspiring, because I was amazed by how the missionaries in the West, they are all the Amos, how they have come to this foreign land to learn a foreign language of Hokkien, just to minister to the people here. And they all brave the hardship, like for instance, the very poor living conditions here, and to really share the gospel. And also, we want to thank God for the pastors, for the leaders, to also start the Chinese kindergarten, to share the gospel at very young age. I think God has given them the vision to see that it's so important to even share the gospel at a very young age. And during the sharing, it was also very interesting that there was a recording of the voice recording of the children of these pastors, one of the very old pastors who actually she recorded her voice. She's the children of the pastor. And she was also thinking back those days where she, together with the other children of the pastors and the leaders, coming together on Fridays and Saturday to clean up the church, to prepare the place for the worship. So we really want to thank God for calling all these missionaries, all these pastors to come together to share the gospel. And they have left the spiritual heritage for us to enjoy. The memory of all these past generations soon will fade away. Yet all this legacy had been passed on, and especially through the family of God like us. So how the missionaries, how the forefathers have loved and served God lives on. So as our forefathers have passed down the gospel through the ages in churches, we see God's hands and His faithfulness in all these years. One of the key themes in Deuteronomy is to remember the faithfulness and the provision of God. Now the Israelites now, they are going to enter into the long-awaited promised land. And Moses, this is not his first time telling them, but he repeats the instructions to all these people of God to tell them, remember, 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 to obey and love God. So he keep on repeating the assurances that God has given to them. If they obey the Lord, obey His commands, they will enjoy the prosperity and the success of the land. Moses also reminded the people to pass down the faith, the trust to their next generation, to tell them, you must tell your generations, your next generation, how God has been so gracious and so faithful. So as we hear these words of Moses, like the Israelites, how do we also provide a spiritual heritage of faith and trust in God to our next generation? So imagine even one day we all will be, we won't be around. We don't know. And how can our children without us continue to trust and know that they are believing and worshipping the only true God? So I have three pointers I just want to share with you. The first point, as we were thinking about this spiritual heritage, first point is about this God-centered parenting. The opening of this chapter, chapter 11, it's a call to we parents and adults in the community. And just like the Israelites, they were the eyewitnesses of God's mighty and awesome deeds. So it's a call for them to follow God's commands, His decrees, and be an example to the next generation. These are the generation before Moses, that they are the ones, and they are fathers who have seen God in the fiery mountain, who have seen the Red Sea enveloping Pharaoh's army, and also the Ten Commandments that were written in God's hand. And they are the ones who seen the food falling from heaven and how the Lord provide water for them. And this generation now, they have seen the kindness and the goodness of God, just like what we have sung just now. As we know the goodness of God, we are now entering into this promised land. What are we going to do with this goodness of God? And chapter 11 is a call to this parents' generation to continue, to trust, to obey, to carry on, to share this goodness of God as they begin a new chapter in the new land. Verse 16, it warns the people, be careful or you'll be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Because the environment that they are going in is not just an empty land. They are still in a land where there'll be people of that land, or regional people who are worshipping their own God. The Canaanites, they were worshipping many, many gods all over the place. So the Israelites were told to be careful to actually destroy all of them. Every shrine, every altar, every idols to be eradicated from their living environment. I think as Christian parents, we also have the responsibility to train up our children with a biblical worldview. So we have to give them a solid foundation. And what can we do to do this? First, it must start with us. Are we worshipping our true God? Do we believe in God? Or we do have other gods to rely on? We tend to think that idolatry is something like that's something that's in the past, or just a scene of, or just a golden statue. But you know, and I know that we do have idols today. An idol is something or someone who has become more important than God. So even good things can also become idols when we make them the ultimate things in our lives. So how do we know that something has become our idol? Here are some four questions where you can think about as you want to identify idols in your life. You can ask yourself, where do I spend my time? Where do I spend my money? Where do I get my joy? And what's always on my mind? I hope these questions will lead you to think about what is really important in your life now. Is an idol or things that have tempted you away from God? So friends, we have to examine our hearts. We need God's command to come back to Him, to be close in our hearts. I also want to share that as parents, it's critical that we train ourselves also to manage our fears and our anxiety in order to protect our children and to train them to be resilient. So overcoming anxiety and caring for our family's mental health, it all starts with we parents and we adults. So as we are also facing anxiety every day, pressure, stress every day, we should spend time daily reading the Bible. If you feel anxious, if you feel fearful, read through the Bible verses that speak about anxiety and fear. Read God's Word. Study His Word. It's really a great way to focus your thoughts that will provide peace. Well, it's easy to say than done. Even myself, I often also struggle. So when I have anxiety in my heart, I also have to tell myself I have to step away, I have to take a deep breath, and I've to come to the Lord and pray. Are we also putting too little attention to the children's church involvement? Some parents, they prefer to give time for their children for sports or activities that will actually bring them earthly honors. And if children say they are supposed to stay back for youth fellowship, and then parents will sometimes think, oh yeah, if we actually wasting their time. So, because sometimes some parents will think that their children must secure a good future and a good place for themselves. And after they are established in life, then they will give time back to church. So these parents are sadly mistaken. I think one of the greatest blessings of obeying, loving and serving God is to have the knowledge to know that God looks after us. And we do not need to fear about the future. Well, we all meet tough times, we all have rough patches, but we can always testify that the Lord is always good. And like what Philippians chapter 4 says, my God will meet all our needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. Our Gen Z and our Gen Alpha children meet a lot of challenges in today's world. It's a very complex world today. I remember last year, we were also doing a kind of a worship interview. So I got to interview some young adults about their hindrances in worship. And I appreciate their honesty. They always say that the biggest hindrances was the social media and their mobile phones. It's not that they don't want to listen to the sermon, but the lure of, you know, just looking at something in the phone is just so great. And they find it so hard to just focus on sermons. So it's very challenging to get the attention of the next generation. And I think parents today face a greater challenge to raise their children as the world evolves technologically and also with this increasing mental health concerns across all ages and also across all the academic and the job achievements. May the Lord help us. So as parents, we do meet all these challenges to navigate through the stress of all this education system and to also bring our teen children back to faith. And we also have children who often have panic attacks, especially during or nearing the exams. And also all these hard questions that children often would ask, the LGBTQ questions, and all these things that they are experiencing in school. So what can we do as adults and parents? Yes, we acknowledge the daunting task of parenting, but we do not need to fear them. We have God with us, as how the Israelites have the assurance that the Lord has been providing for them all these years through generations, and His love is always with us. So if our children discuss and ask us very controversial topics, let us not be fearful. What we can do is we can provide a listening ear to them, listen to their concerns, and at the same time, we can also discuss with them the biblical truth. And really, it's not so easy as I'm just telling you now. We really need God's patience, God's wisdom to continue to dialogue with our children. I think to have this open space to talk to our children is more important than anything else. And most importantly, I think as parents, as adults, we just have to love our children for who they are, to affirm them and to build their self-esteem, and teach our children to trust in our sovereign God. We believe in God. I think you do believe in God. And we just have to love them as how God loves us patiently and unconditionally. So we are reminded as God's people, we are committed to dedicate our minds, our soul, our emotions, our spirit to remember God's faithfulness and provision. And He will bless us like how He has been blessing the Israelites. So may we continue to keep our faith as parents and children. Now, secondly, to leave this spiritual heritage has to do with commitment to teach the children in God's Word. You'll find that today's passage is quite similar somewhere that you have read in the Bible. Yes, you're right. That's in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. And verse 18 tells us the words of the Lord are to be kept in our hearts, in our minds. And the people are to bind them as a sign on the hand. Fix these words of mine on your hearts and minds, tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. So literally in the Jewish community, they have this reference of this small box that's called Tefillin. And this small box is a leather box and it contains all the words, commands, that's supposed to be binding on their arms all over and also putting on their forehead. So they are to be clinged near the heart, the hand, and the head. These are the areas that we usually will give attention to, very obvious places. And this word of God is to be talked with the children at home and everywhere at all times of the day. And these words are to be displayed in prominent places. So the word doorpost is a reference of the entrance of the house. In other words, these words are to be considered all times, to be discussed in all circumstances throughout the day, and to be prioritized as the focus of our everyday lives. Some Christians, they can spend a long time pondering upon the scripture. Some will settle for a quick devotional study. Some don't even have time to read the Bible. I think some of us may have this struggle in this area, including myself. So every day, I need to make a conscious effort to really get into the Word without rushing my time with God. So I will wake up early in the morning to actually, as I was preparing for the kids go to school, I also will turn on my audio Bible to turn on and just to listen to it. And sometimes, you know, as we are doing things, we are not able to focus. I have to play again. But we really thank God for all these apps to help us as we are busy. We can still have the time to think about God's Word. God's Word is particularly important as we need them to be reminded of God's presence in our lives. Same thing for our children. We need to remind them that God is present in their lives because the forces of temptation and trials are so daunting. When we go through very hard times, it's very easy to just go to other things for support. But we have to remember we have something that is even more precious and tangible, that is God's Word. We may not be able to see God's presence with our physical eyes, but we can hear Him speaking through the Scripture. Many people would like to talk about things that are important to them. I don't know about you, but we do hear people that often, you know, they are so close to their heart, they'll keep talking and talking. So I know of a doctor who is very into vegan. So he doesn't need to try to force a conversation because it just come out of him. So every time if you see him, the first thing, he's a gynae, so if you talk to him, then the first thing he will tell you about, how good vegan diet is. So it's like gospel, you know, sharing a gospel. And every patient, everyone he meets, he will tell the person how important, how beneficial it is to have this vegan diet. So he was also sharing, then he'll get all the assistant to come in and say that, you know, last time, she had to eat a lot of medicine for her high BP. Now, no need already because of the vegan diet. So to every patient, he will describe how good it is, this vegan diet is, and really want to motivate the patients to change their lifestyle because he truly believes in it and he live it out. So he doesn't eat meat. The cheat days is only on Sunday. Oh yeah, poor Tim. Poor him. I feel very pity. But anyway, he thinks that it's very beneficial to observe this diet of a vegan. So if this doctor makes a priority to tell people how important a vegan diet is, it's even more important for us to tell people about God's Word, because God's Word is really our motivation, our life, our cheer when we feel down. It's really our priority in your hearts and minds. And also to pass on to our children, our grandchildren, to tell them how the Lord has taught us, how the Lord has been so good to us, and sharing all these things with other believers when we are together. Verse 19, it says that when you sit in your house, this verse, it tells us that the children education Christian education begins at home. I think this is also our Presbyterian belief. We believe very strongly in the family, which is the basic unit and the first unit of faith generation. So parents should create an atmosphere in a home that fosters all this open communication, a place where children will ask about God. parents who pray with their children on a regular basis. I'm not sure how much time that you pray or you read the Bible with your children, but let's try to help our children by reinforcing God's word in their lives and develop this moral compass in their hearts and guide them. It's a call of action for us to prioritize this spiritual education for our children. So let's embrace all these opportunities to sow the seeds of faith in the hearts of our children. Our children will grow up very fast, and very soon they won't be with us at home. So let's seize all these opportunities to talk to them. The love of God is meant to be a habit in our normal daily rhythms of life. So how do we do that? Impress God's commands by talking to them in home, at home, in the neighborhood, in the workplace, in the morning, in the night. We have the whole day, whole night to talk about God's word. And of course, all this will take some intentional effort and also to be purposeful about it. God knows that we are people who need stories to remember our history and to also remember God's goodness. Knowledge is vital, but we won't remember it unless we tell each other, keep telling each other the story. I've been telling stories and testimonies with my daughter whenever I can. So sometimes I'll tell her what happened to myself, what happened in the past, and what happened to the church members as well as my parents. And even as an adult, I also enjoy listening to my mother's story, telling stories to me and providing advice through these stories. It makes me feel that I'm being trusted and she's giving me this very sacred space in her life to listen to her. So whether our children are teens now or they are just toddlers, let's encourage them by providing a space for them, tell them our stories, give a conversation to them. So this verse 18 to 21, like this Deuteronomy 6, parents are to communicate this importance and truths of God's word to the next generation. So let's look for ways to how we can nurture our teens, our children, our young families in the knowledge of God. And the third point is to walk in obedience to God's commands. In this chapter, the Israelites, they were commanded to love God, their Lord. And this love is just more than emotion, more than affection for the Lord. It's an expression, it's an action of obedience to God's laws. God promised that if the Israelites obey His commands, they'll be blessed in the land, and also He promised that God will give them a lot of smoothness in their future. And it's not just about the fertility of the land, it's about the wellness of the whole society, as you can read in the Bible, that if they follow all this, in verse 22, if you carefully observe all these commands I'm giving to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to Him and to hold fast to Him, they all will be blessed. The Israelites are commanded to walk in all the ways of the Lord. This is a call to respond to God's love, and as He calls us to love Him, let's also follow this way. The way that is this way that's translated is to live in accordance to the laws of God. That is to honor each other, to speak in truth to one another, to trust, to serve, to love others as they wanted to be loved. When there's such obedience to God's laws, the society will not have so many problems and so many issues, because there is mutual love, mutual respect, and a lot of trust. Just imagine everyone can honor each other. We don't have to worry that, let's say we put our bag here, even like one day or 2 days, we come back, you'll be still here and nothing will be lost. That's because there's a mutual love, mutual trust, and respect. So just imagine a land like this, and this is what the Lord has promised. So the Israelites were asked to hold fast to God. Hold fast means to cling on to God, to cleave to God, to keep close to God. And this shows a kind of closeness, a loyalty. Holding fast to God means that the Israelites will have to stay away from other gods and idolatry. So how can we show this obedience? By starting from ourselves, from the first point that I have shared. We go to church regularly. We pray. We put God first. We serve others. We read the Bible. So when we set this example of going to church, pray, put God first, your children will know that this is important to you and to the family. And this is also something that they should do. This should be part of our whole week's routine and no compromise, no negotiation. And this serves to protect our children because this will become their foundation and rooted in their upbringing. So going to church as a family is a good way, encouraging way to help our children in their faith and to give them the church, the second home. And they'll be exposed to also other Christians that's in their family who will affirm what the family believes. They will hear sermons, and just now we are so encouraged to see our young adults helping us in worship, doing actions to encourage the children to sing. I remember a pastor once shared that he continues to pray for his daughter and the son-in-law to go to church. It's very funny. They will bring their children, this son-in-law and daughter will bring to the children to the church. After that, they will come back and watch the live stream of worship. It was not explained why the couple chose to do so, but we are reminded that how we spend our time shows what we prioritize. So even if we are very busy, we're very tired, when we see that the family takes time to go to church on Sunday for activities or just to go to church, they'll know that church is important. So many parents, I know that they have very young children, they're babies. It's quite a hassle to go to church because anyway, the children will be too young to understand. And perhaps next time they'll have a lot of time to establish as a family ritual. But I just want to encourage you that even at very young age, the children will know routine is important. And as they come to church, they'll accept that this is part of their lives and the normal rhythm of the family. So the church is meant to help us as a body of believers. As we are urged in Hebrews 10, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds and not giving up meeting together. So as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. So caring, continue to encourage, continue to help each other to come to church. The other thing that I want to mention is caring for others alongside your children is another good way to teach your children to love the weak and the marginalized. Today, our secular culture promotes a lot of me and the self-centeredness. But Christianity, it teaches us to love our neighbor, to love the weak, and to do to others what you would have done to yourself. So caring for our neighbors, whether people in our country or people from other countries, sends a very important message to our children, our next generation, that other people are important too. My church has started this project or this ministry called S3P. I don't know whether you have heard of this before. This started in a few years ago. And this ministry is to give a temporary shelter for the rough sleepers and the homeless. And this is the third floor in our educational block. S3P stands for Safe, Sound, Sleeping Places. So as we started this, we gathered help from our neighbor, our members, coming together, set up the beds, and also donate all the washing machine and all the things to prepare the place for all these rough sleepers, and also to provide meals for them. And we also have a roster till today to befriend them every day. Because many of them, they are very lonely. They are being chased out of the house. Not that they are not educated. Many of them are very educated. But because of the estrangement of the family, they are being chased out of the house. So they need someone to talk to. So we do have befrienders roster. But as we are doing this, right, there are some members who are very skeptical. They will think that why are we wasting our church space just for all these people? And then, you know, these people, their background are very dubious. We don't know where they come from. But this is about ministry, where we just want to reach out to them. And sometimes even our children, they will ask, hey, why are there strangers, their uncle wearing shorts, walking here and there? And they were asking, why are these strangers coming to stay here for free? So I thought these are very good teaching moments for our children to learn to be hospitable and not to be judgmental. Every time when the stayer come and talk to me, and I want the children to observe how I interact with them. And after that, I will debrief with my children after my conversation. So this ministry, it teaches the children from a me-centered existence and steer them to love God and the strangers. So dear friends, when we walk in obedience to God, we do with all our hearts, with our minds, with our soul. We live lives marked by faith, by hope, by love. And our children will see how we conduct ourselves. And this act of obedience will also give consistency and stability in these children's learning of faith. So in conclusion, as we live in a world that's filled with challenges and distractions, building strong families grounded in faith is more important than ever. We learn from the ancient Israel that they were to love God wholeheartedly with their hearts, their minds, their soul, and they were to teach the commands to their next generation. This is a constant and ever-present message till today. Sitting in the house, lying down at the end of the day, waking up, these are all opportunities for us to teach our next generation. As our theme for Synod calls us, strengthen our faith by strengthening our family. We have to first prioritize God's word in our lives, and then we pass down to our future generation by talking to them and giving opportunities for all these dialogues to think about God's word. So let's continue to ask the Lord to help us as we continue to strengthen our family and our homes. So before I close, I just want to ask everyone to now take some time to reflect upon two questions that I want you to think about. First is, let's think about how we can build our faith. Have I been spending time every day to just listen to God? Have I been spending time to ask the Lord to show His presence to me? Have I been attentive to His presence in my life? Or every day I'm just so oblivious to His presence, even though He has been showing so much grace to me. What can I do to build my faith and strengthen my faith in Him? Second is, what steps can I take to build my family's faith? As we want our children to prosper in faith, let's be good examples, good models. Have we been praying for them? Have we been spending time to just have a dialogue with them, to talk about how they have been in their faith journey? If they feel discouraged, have we been encouraging them? Let's sing this song as a prayer to ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in our speech, in our actions. Holy Spirit.